Hi, Year 11. We're back at it again. Today we're going to be looking at page 77. So open your books and have a look at that page. Today I thought one of the things that I want us to talk about is this idea that the man, the father, has been feels that he has been given some divine appointing or anointing to care for his son. And it is his relationship with his son and his belief that he is this caregiver, that he is this, that he is, his duty is to pass on and carry this flame, this fire with his son and teach him how to do that, that keeps him going. And last podcast I looked at how the mother gives up, you know, the bleakness of the world that she can't handle it, that and so she gives up. And we see that this is a... you know, I think, again, this is like this allegorical story where Cormac McCarthy is getting us to consider how we should respond to the bleakness of the world. That sometimes, you know, when we listen to the news or we look at what is going on with terrorists and even recently the shootings, the men in Sydney are killing and stabbing that poor 21-year-old girl. You know, we look at all these and we hear these things and we do get a sense of, the world is bleak and there is a sense that humanity is being lost. And so I think Cormac McCarthy is challenging us, you know, through this macro narrative to try and think about that and think about what that means for us and how we should respond. And I think, the mother represents one way of responding, to give up and to just say that it's too much and you can't fight it. You know, she talks about how she dreams of the hopelessness. You know, on page 59 she says, "As for me, my only hope is for eternal nothingness, and I hope it with all my heart." So we see her as one response, but we see the father being held as this other response. And and, you know, he is so charged with this role of looking after his son, and that's what keeps him going. And he says that many times throughout his narration, that without his son he would have given up too. But it is that and that sense of duty that he clings to, and that's what keeps him going. So we're going to look at page 77. I'm going to read the first paragraph. "When they'd eaten, he took the boy out beyond the gravel bar, below the bridge, and he pushed away the thin shore ice with a stick, and they knelt there while he washed the boy's face and his hair. The water was so cold that the boy was crying. They moved down the gravel to find fresh water, and he washed his hair again as well as he could, and finally stopped because the boy was moaning with the cold of it. He dried him with the blanket, kneeling there in the glow of the light, with the shadow of the bridge's understructure broken across the palisade of tree trunks beyond the creek. 'This is my child,' he said. 'I wash a dead man's brains out of his hair. That is my job.' Then he wrapped him in the blanket and carried him to the fire." So we get remind you of what's happened previously in this scene. The father and son were in the woods, and they hear a truck rolling and stopping. And while the men are trying to fix the truck, one of them comes over to the bush where they're hiding, and he is going to urinate, and he sees the child and the man, and the man threatens him and wants to, you know, wants to walk him somewhere and then let him go just to give them a chance to escape. The man is represented as one of the bad guys, and so he attacks the boy with a knife and holds him, and the father kills him with a gun, with one of his bullets. And we see how the son responds to that, and he finds it horrific that his father has killed him. But before we get to that, here we have, him washing this, because they have to escape and they don't have time to clear the, you know, the dead man's blood and brains off his face, because the boy was obviously right in front of him. But now he's done that. And we see, you know, the possessive pronoun of "my child," he said, that ownership and that responsibility being weighted in that possessive pronoun. And then the simple sentence structure: "I wash a dead man's brains out of his hair." And then the short sentence: "That is my job." you know, it reminds us that he is, he's charged. He feels charged with the boy's care. And so even this, and, you know, perhaps a parent might, you know, as clean up a child's vomit if they've vomited, and, you know, that's what they're called to do in normal life, you know, perhaps a part of a duty of being a parent that when your child's sick, you care for them. But here it's just that extreme example because of the dystopian post-apocalyptic world that the narrative's set in. And I just want to note at this point that the tender, affectionate, motherly way that he does this, you know, that he so gently washes the child's hair and is trying to wash his face because, you know, he has to. He has to be both mother and father to this boy. And he has to be both affectionate and tender, but he also has to teach this boy to be resilient and strong and courageous. And so he does. I just want to, the last line of page 77, I'm not going to read that whole bit out, but he said, all of this, like some ancient anointing, you know, that really links us back to the idea of this being an allegory, because going back to that ancient black lake on the first page of the novel and what that might be symbolizing and represent. It's like this story, though it's kind of potentially, it's not given a clear setting, but it could be in the future, in a post-apocalyptic world, or I don't know, it could be any time. It's not clear. It's never been made clear in the ambiguous nature of the way that Cormac McCarthy hasn't given us real sense of setting and time. I think demonstrates that this is this this symbolic story of a father and son on a journey, and all the father needs to teach and train his son on that journey. Let's skip over, and we're going to look at page 78. Halfway down that middle paragraph, I'm not going to read all of it out. We just don't have time. But he got up and dragged fresh wood under the bridge. He stood listening. The boy didn't stir. He sat beside him and stroked his pale and tangled hair, golden chalice. Good to house a god. Please don't tell me how the story ends. When he looked out again at the darkness beyond the ridge, it was snowing. Again, there's this link to this golden chalice, this golden, you know, cup, fit to good, you know, good to house a god. And that's what this, you know, this son embodies, all that is good in the world to the man. And that, I think the description there really emphasizes that. All right, we're going to skip over to page 80. And I'm going to go from the boy didn't answer halfway down the page, or three quarters of the way down the page on page 80. I should have been more careful, he said. The boy didn't answer. You have to talk to me. Okay. You wanted to know what the bad guys looked like? Now you know. It may happen again. My job is to take care of you. I was appointed to do that by God. I will kill anyone who touches you. Do you understand? Yes. He sat there, cowled in a blanket. After a while, he looked up. Are we still the good guys? He said. Yes, we're still the good guys. And we always will be? Yes, we always will be. Okay. All right, we have this the father admitting on page 80 and 81, you know, that it is his responsibility, that he's been appointed by God. As I was saying before, that's what the father believes. And part of that role is that he will kill anyone who touches the son, that really paternal instinct in play there. And then we have this preoccupation that the son has, that we're still the good guys. And, you know, the son doesn't remember much of the world before whatever it is happened. It's not clear when the son was born, only that the father really delivered him by candlelight. And maybe there's the presumption that it happened after the world became bleak like this. I'm not really sure that there's clarity in that, but the son knows enough about the world and the world before this happened, this disaster where, you know, everyone died and those that were left were mainly bad guys, to know that there are good and bad guys. And the boy is clinging to the hope that they are the good guys. And part of that is because that's what the father's been teaching him through his stories that he tells him of the past and through his reminding of the fact that they're carrying the fire together, and that's really important to the father. And so we're going to flip ahead now to where he talks about that on page 87. Okay, just at the top of page 87, I'm just going to read a little bit. He woke in the night and lay listening. He could remember where he was. He couldn't remember where he was, sorry. The thought made him smile. "Where are we?" he said. "What is it, Papa?" "Nothing. We're okay. Go to sleep." "We're going to be okay, aren't we, Papa?" "Yes, we are. And nothing bad is going to happen to us." "That's right. Because we're carrying the fire." "Yes, because we're carrying the fire." Okay, that's a really important page. So, you know, mark it in your book, because that's, in a sense, you know, one of the things that Cormac McCarthy, I think, is trying really hard to represent in his novel. As I said, it's this allegory of the moral choice, to, you know, whether to uphold and cling to values of, you know, honour and integrity and goodness, even in bleak times, or whether we give up hope and whether we lose some of our humanity, as I said, was represented in that monster or creature that, you know, we see in the opening couple of pages of the novel. So here there's this distinction that the role of a father is to train and to teach a son, and that's what the father is doing. You know, that's what he's been appointed by God to do, to teach him what is good and to teach him how to be the good guys. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the main things I wanted you to really see from those couple of pages that we looked at today. And the real contrast between some of the people in the novel that are seen. There's a lot of bad guys seen, a lot of bad things that are happening. But the father and son cling to what is good. Okay, again, there'll be some questions for you to answer on this, to add to your study notes. Okay, thanks for your 11.